Cambodia is a beautiful country in Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Olac, or Vietnam. Cambodia is a fascinating mix of breathtaking scenery, simple cultures and traditions, stunning ancient temples, colonial architecture, genuine friendliness, and more. Cambodia has a magnificent and spiritual past. The glory of the Khmer Empire stretched from eastern Thailand and Laos to south Olac or Vietnam. The temples of Angkor, capital of Cambodia's ancient Khmer Empire, are a perfect fusion of creative ambition and spiritual devotion. Angkor Wat is still the spiritual heart of the country where people come to pray every day. Because of the spiritual atmosphere that exists in every Cambodian's heart, the country is blessed by God's grace, especially in its time of need. Over the years since the 1990s, Supreme Master Ching Hai has continuously sent humanitarian aid to Cambodia. Over the years, Supreme Master Ching Hai has kindly accepted many invitations by earnest truth aspirants to visit their land. We now invite you to listen to an enlightening discussion by Supreme Master Ching Hai with our association members entitled The Mark of a Great Saint from May 1996 in Cambodia.
The Himalayan folks are very simple. And if you ask them anything and they shake their head, that means okay, huh? Don't misunderstand, okay? When they shake like this, that means yes. So when I first came, I always had trouble. I said, I just want to chapati, why you don't give it to me? Because it look like this. And I said, I saw you have them there. This is chapati, and he's like this. So I said, okay, I have myself. Oh, it's very cute. Oh, and I tell you what, the chapatis in Himalaya mountain is the best food in the world. What after you walk 40 kilometers empty stomach? Then it's become golden delicious, yeah. You don't have to be reincarnated as a golden monkey or something to enjoy, because it's really, really delicious, and you never have enough of it. And the problem is that they never have enough of it either. So you always feel you don't have enough. And you have to look forward to the next style or somewhere else in order to have chapatis again. And I tell you true, I never enjoy food so much as when I was in India. Everything tastes so good. Oh, God. Because you always have to walk everywhere and spend all this flower energy. And as soon as you can get something, which sometimes could be 30, 40 kilometers away, so you treasure everything. And even if you can find it, if somebody else has not been there before you. So most people, they have to carry a little bit of things for themselves, like dry biscuits, yeah, very, very lightweight, or flour, huh? And then they will, and some salt, if they can. If not, they don't carry salt even. Yeah, I carry salt in a very small plastic bag. Yeah? Everywhere I go, I will feel it again, if it's empty, because I cannot carry a lot. So just my maybe 10 ounces of flour or something like that. Just one bag small like this and a small peck of salt. And then wherever you go, there's always water, you know. If not from the snow, then from the Ganges River and from people, anywhere, river a lot. So that's all you have to carry in the Himalaya. So even if he was a king, I think he has to endure a lot of hardship in order to find this golden fruit. I don't know why he doesn't endure enough hardship to go and find the enlightenment. Huh? That way, then he would have become Buddha, instead of be there all the time and take in the golden deer or competing with the monkey for the fruit and things like that, below his dignity. So we have enough with Himalaya or not? Because I know many of you are curious to know what it's like there, huh? I can't describe it enough in words, actually. But they're beautiful. The beautiful mountain, the most beautiful mountain I have ever seen. Because it's like the mountain is like this, huh? One after another, huh? Like this, huh? And then it's all covered with snow, as white as the cotton. And nobody ever set foot there, not even animals or nothing. So it just like this, flat, even, and smooth, like a blanket there. And then just sticking out of this white is evergreen pine trees, straight up into the blue turquoise-like sky. It's so beautiful. Sometimes I just stood there and watched in wonder. Even if you take pictures, even if you videotape it, it's never the same. And the air is so pure, you could eat it. Perhaps that's why in the Himalaya, I was never so hungry. And I didn't have to carry a lot of food. And sometimes I go without food, it doesn't affect me so much. Some of the Himalaya master or yogis there, they don't eat even. We call them breatharian or Aryan. They eat air. It's true. And they have a special technique to take deep breath in certain fashion so they don't have to feel hungry. And many of the yogis there don't even wear clothes, because when they stay there long, their clothes, they also become holy, like mine, you know, holy clothes. And then after too holy, then they have to discard it. And then they have to develop tumor heat, solar plexus heat, huh? Yeah, you have to invoke the solar in your abdomen here in order to warm the whole body. And so most of them look very pink and very healthy and fat too. Huh? They eat air only. Very pink and fat. And don't wear any clothes. Just walk around like that. And in India, if you walk alone as a woman, people don't have respect for you. I don't know why. So in India, if you're a woman, you have to walk out with your brother, your sister, your daughter, your dog, your cat, whatever. But don't be alone. I didn't know this. And I didn't have any companion, so I had to walk everywhere alone. And sometimes I encounter problem, but it's not so much. I deal with it. Kung fu. If you have to go alone, be prepared. Learn some karate or something. I'm not joking. I have to put on my sannyasin cloth, the saffron robe, so to let them understand, to stay away from me. At that time, I was ordained already in a Tibetan tradition and Hindu tradition as a sannyasin, as a nun. But I didn't want to be too obvious, so I just wear the ordinary clothes and mosquitoes. In the Himalaya, not, but in some of the places, also holy, like Benares. Wow, mosquito, so big. You think airplane is landing on your body. Yes, they will make your body become airport, you know? They keep landing one after another, different hours. Not on schedule at all. So you just have to protect yourself if you go there with a mosquito net or repellent, insect repellent, because they're really, really think your body is the airport. Yes. And the mosquito was so big. Well, I remember in Benares. No. Yes. So big, the mosquito. Well, I'm very small, so everything looks big to me. And it's not easy to buy insect repellent anywhere you want to go. Especially you just came down from the Himalaya. And if you go to the Himalaya and you come back, you feel weird. As if you're walking on a cloud or something. Perhaps the air there is different, so thin or pure. So there are so many things you should worry about. And there's no toilet there, huh? Ladies and gentlemen. So normally I would wait until dark to go out. But then when you hear the roaring of a bear or something, then you forget everything else. And either you run or you froze. Because at night there's no electricity there too. And you don't always have batteries enough for your torch. And after you climb for maybe a few hundred kilometers up to the mountain, then the torch have to be gone too. Because heavy is another burden. Everything must go. The same with enlightenment. The higher we go, the less we must carry with us. We just have to throw away. Or we stop there. Very, very similar to that situation. Nobody tell me don't bring this, don't bring that, but I throw away them myself because I can't carry anymore. The higher you go, the heavier things become. Maybe the gravity, huh? Or because your feet has become heavier and swollen with the snow water in your shoes, or because you don't eat enough nutrition, or because it's too cold, you spend faster energy than you normally would, or because what? Or the hate and the tiredness too. But it was fun, because at that time I had only God in my mind. I have no fear, no thinking, as if my mind has been numb from fear or from anxiety, nothing. But now if you ask me to go back there again, no. Oh, even you give me $1 million, I don't go back there again. Oh, now I think about it, so scary. I must be blind and deaf in order to go there alone and walk many miles like that, alone in a mountain, in search for masters or God's blessing or what. Every holy place is in India. If I could make it, I go there. And I don't have companions, so I had to go alone. And going alone is a lot of risk. But God protected the blind like me, so nothing happened. And I still came back to see you. Thanks, God. So if you complain about a tent here, huh? At least you have a tent. Huh? I didn't have then. Even if I have, I could not carry. So it's good, very good already. I wish at that time I had a tent to have some privacy. Never can. Always have to wait for night time. Or have to go very far to find an isolated spot to bath or something like that. Especially during a pilgrim season. There are millions of people surrounding everywhere that is holy and famous. So you almost have no privacy at all. You learn to adapt. You use whatever, cover yourself around. Make a sentry for your bath. Or bath with full clothes in the icy water. And then jump out after you count to five. Yeah, because the water is just ice, just zero. It just melted directly from the icy rock. Like a Gangotri. Gangotri is the place people believe where the Ganges water come from. And actually that's where it is. It's the head of the Ganges River. And when you go there, you see the river water coming from the mountain, melted from the ice there. Immediately, just drop down and fall out in there. So the water there is around zero. If it's not because of the stiff way like this, I don't think the water will flow. And it's the flowing water that keep it liquid, I think so. Otherwise, it's all ice there. Because of the slanted shape from the mountain up to the plain, so the water will fall down. And whenever the sun come out a little bit, the water will melt, and that's what makes Ganges River. So there, people came and bathed to cleanse their sin. So I believe my sins were also cleansed because I bathed there too. But I count to five and jump out. Because if you wait until six, then you're gone. You became ice cube and never come out of it. It's really frozen. And you don't have a bathroom, nothing. You have to jump right in the river with the cloth on. And I wash my hair also because I'm worried my hair might carry some sin. So I shampoo everything. And it was so cold. You really have to count. You worry that if you don't count, you stay there forever or flow down. Because it froze, the whole body suddenly became like stand still. So you have to jump out quickly, huh? And you have to wait until there's a sun in order to bath. If there's no sun, you're finished. So when I jump out of the water, icy water, and into the sun, wow, it's like the whole body blooming with flowers. Yes, yes. All the cells. You feel great. So I did it again 3 more times. Just to make sure that all the sins have been washed away. I never know how much sins I have, so I just wash them all. Head and toes.
It has been a pleasure to have you join us for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Farewell and God bless.